Welcome to Real Work, Real Life, where we talk to real people about what they do for work and what that means for their lives. Today, I'm talking with Allison. Allison does a lot of different things. She has a day job as an administrative assistant. She's an actor. She's had many different side gigs over the years, but most recently, she's found her passion as a declutter coach. While my previous interviews tend to focus more on a linear career path to a particular job, so many people find themselves both by choice and requirement doing something like Allison, trying lots of things, balancing stability with excitement and passion, and hopefully finding something you really love along the way, which Allison has done with both acting and decluttering. It's a great reminder that for most people, work is not and doesn't have to be a linear upwards progression, but can be more of a lifelong journey of trying new things and making different decisions based on the needs of your life at that moment. If you're interested in learning more about what Allison does or need help decluttering, you can follow her on Facebook or Instagram at I Am The Clutter Buster or IAmTheClutterBuster.com. So let's get into it. Thank you so much for joining me, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what do you do for work?
I work for a CPA firm. I'm an administrative assistant, and I've been there for almost 13 years. I went to school for theater, so I didn't go to school for anything related to my job at all. It's just general office work, and I support about 60 CPAs.
Do you want to talk about your side project too? What do you do for your side gig?
Sure. So I just recently got certified to become a declutter coach, and I'm certified under Dana K. White, who is an author and a YouTuber. And so I'm trained in her method. And I've just been kind of helping people part-time over the last 2 years on days off from my other job. I'm down to 3 days a week at the accounting firm because I do have two young kids. So when I had them, I cut back. I used to be full-time, and now I'm just Monday, Tuesday, Thursday there. So Wednesdays and Fridays, I'm trying to fill in declutter jobs and trying to grow my business. And I also work a lot during the weekend as well doing that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a lot. So can you tell me how you got into the initial, you know, your kind of day job, and then also what interested you in decluttering?
Sure. So I studied theater in college and I wanted to be a famous movie star, and I'm still working on that. I actually am in the Actors Union, and I do a lot of background work on TV and film stuff that gets produced around the Boston area, because we do have a lot of things filming around here.
Cool.
I wanted to just go to California, like right from high school, and pursue acting. And my dad really wanted me to have a degree under my belt. So he kind of bribed me and said, you know, I'll get you a car if you go to the state school that I went to just to get a degree in something. He's like, I don't care if you want to study theater, that's fine, but I really want you to have a bachelor's degree in something. So I agreed to do that. So I got, you know, 4-year bachelor's degree in communications and theater, and kind of just like didn't really know what I wanted to do. I still wanted to pursue the acting. At the time, my boyfriend and I had talked about possibly moving to New York and kind of trying to just do it. But we went to visit friends who were doing it, and I was very overwhelmed with the city. And I was like, this isn't for me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be living in a tiny shoebox apartment and not be able to like have my pets and just have a life, because I can't, you know, we would just be working to like live in New York City. And I didn't want to do that. So I was like, I just need to find a regular job and I can kind of do the acting on the side. So I worked in a doctor's office for about a year. Then I worked as a preschool teacher for 4 years. That was not for me. I knew that. At that point, if I hadn't left that job, I never would have had my own children because I was so stressed all the time. And so I did that for 4 years. And then I was like, you know what? I just want to be like in an office, like doing office type stuff. And so I just found my job randomly on Craigslist. They were just looking for an administrative assistant. And I never thought that I would stay as long as I have. I thought it was going to be kind of a temporary thing, but it's a great company to work for. And they were flexible when I had my kids and wanted to cut back. So yeah, I mean, I'm good at office work. I'm good with like busy typing and all that kind of stuff and filing. And I'm in charge of like electronically filing all the tax returns for our clients. So that's like my main job there now, but I do a little bit of everything. And then when COVID happened and the office shut down, we were actually only really shut down for like 4 months. I went back to work in person July 2020.
Wow.
But those 4 months, I was home with my kids who were 1 and 3 at the time. And I noticed that we had a lot of stuff, and I got like kind of claustrophobic feeling. Like I was like, we have so much stuff. And now that I'm home every single day, all day, I'm seeing it. And I just started Googling decluttering and found some podcasts to listen to, started reading some books. And I found that I enjoyed it. And I think my husband thought that we were running out of ideas, like out of places in our own home to declutter because I got rid of so much. So when I went back to my office in July of 2020, one day I was like, oh, the supply closet is a disaster. I'm going to just declutter and organize and clean it. And I'm like, I had so much fun. I took a before picture and some after pictures and just absolutely like had so much fun doing it. And I was still reading a lot about decluttering and I was listening to podcasts about decluttering and just kind of immersing myself in that whole world. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I can do this for other people. And so I posted in a couple local Facebook moms groups and I just said, look, I'm just charging $25 an hour to get my foot in the door. And so I found a couple clients that way. And then word of mouth, they recommended me to other moms. And then eventually, you know, I made a Facebook page and an Instagram page and a website. And then I actually reached out to Dana, who she's the author of the books and she's the one who I'm certified with. I reached out to her in January of 22. And I said, hey, you know, just wanted to let you know that I'm teaching your methods when I go into people's homes. Are you ever going to have like an official certification process? Because I would love to get certified officially underneath you. And she wrote back immediately and was like, yeah, it's in the works.
Cool.
And then fast forward to November of 22, her assistant emailed me and asked me to do an interview with her on Zoom so that I could explain to her how I was implementing her strategies when I went into clients' homes. And exchange for that, she gave me the certification course for free, which was lovely because it was like, you know, it was like a $500 investment. So that was our trade-off. And I was actually the very first coach certified because I did the whole training in one weekend. My son was sick with the flu, I think, that weekend. And I just literally laid in bed with him while he slept. And I was just on my computer and I was just doing all of the readings and the videos and it was like a 12-hour course. I submitted my stuff and I was the very first one certified.
Amazing. Amazing. So you started off small, which I think is the way so many people get going with side gigs. Did you have to get special insurance or did you have to get an LLC or like what sort of business things have you done so far?
This is still very much a part-time side gig. Okay. So I haven't officially started an LLC or done any of that yet. I am interested in doing that at some point, but right now, while I'm still kind of doing the accounting firm, a regular 9-to-5 type thing, I haven't gone and done any of that side stuff that I know I need to do at some point. Eventually, I will probably need to get insurance. So far, I haven't had any issues, knock on wood. It's been fine. There are a lot of things that I need to look into, though, to create more of like an actual business.
Yep.
And I will probably do that as I continue to get bigger. Right now, I mean, I'm only one person, so I have to like kind of turn down jobs. If I'm not available, I'm not available. You know, I don't have anybody I can send in my place. And I'm only fitting in declutter jobs Wednesdays and Fridays. And that's if I can get like Wednesdays, I'm without a nanny. So I need to get a sitter for my son if I get a job on Wednesdays. And Fridays, I have my nanny in the morning. So like I just came from a declutter job. But she leaves at 1 and then he's home with me the rest of the afternoon. So I do virtual calls and I actually did a virtual call the other day for 2 hours on Zoom and he was fine just watching a movie and kind of stayed out of my hair. But it depends on the day because he's 4.
Right. Can really go either way with 4.
I've really been relying on my husband a lot because on the weekends is when I'm doing a lot of my decluttering jobs and he's kind of holding down the fort.
Yeah, it takes a lot to grow the business, but it's exciting to have, you know, a side passion project going. So that's really cool. So, you know, you have kind of 3 things going on. Can you share what you make sort of generally in each? And if you have benefits in your office job, what those look like?
So to be completely honest, I don't even know what I make at the accounting firm because you know, I got a raise, you know, every year since I started. But then when I cut back, I'm now only getting 60% of my pay. So if I had like a rough guesstimate, I think probably if I was full time, I'd be making around 65 to 70,000, but I'm only getting 60% of that because I'm only there for 3 days. I don't have any benefits from them anymore because when I got married, I went on my husband's insurance. So all of my benefits come from his, he owns a company. So all my benefits come from like his insurance.
Mm-hmm. Do you get any paid time off?
I do get paid time off. It used to be like when you started there, you got 20 days automatically. And that was sick, personal time, vacation, like all kind of lumped into one. And then once you were there for 5 years, I think it was 5 years, you got an extra 5 days. So then I was at 25 days. But then when I cut back, now it's all prorated.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. It's
some amount.
Around 20 days, maybe. The good thing is during tax season, we're so busy that like if I wanted to take a Tuesday off, I could take the Tuesday off and work the Wednesday instead. And there's plenty of work to be done.
Yeah.
The rest of the year, it's harder because like right now we're like out of our busy season. And so things are kind of more normal and the hours are like, you know, pretty typical 8:30 to 5. During tax season, people are in the office pretty much every night till 10, 11 o'clock.
Oh, gosh.
And then every Saturday as well. So in tax season, I'm working my 3 days. Plus I do work most Saturdays starting like end of February. So from March and April, like I'm in the office on Saturdays as well. So yeah, there is paid time off. It doesn't roll over from year to year. You can't take vacation time during tax season, which is totally understandable. Unless like if there's something major that comes up, you can get it approved. I remember like maybe a year or two after I started, my grandfather was turning 80 and they were having a party for him in Florida. So they let me go and I only had to take like 1 day. January is not too bad, but like March and April, it's insanity and we are so busy. So you can't even get sick during tax season.
Feels like they need to spread it out a little bit. Like, does the whole country need to do it on the same day?
I know. It's crazy. And the COVID year, like, they had extended the deadline to, like, July 15th. So
right.
That was, like, a crazy year. And we have a lot of clients. We're very busy. The firm is doing great. And we're growing and growing and growing. When I started, there was, like, 17 of us. And now there's over 60. So we've grown a lot.
Do you have a sense of what you make kind of like generally average for the year from acting and what you might be making from decluttering? I know that's probably hard to estimate.
I know. I really don't because, well, the decluttering and the acting jobs are very different. So like last year, like 22, I did a decent amount of background work. So I worked on Julia, which is on HBO Max about Julia Child.
Cool.
So I did 2 episodes of that. And I mean, this is just background. So I don't have any lines. I'm just in the background, but I got hair and makeup and whatever, set in the 60s. It was a fun project. I worked on Kevin Can F Himself, which is on AMC Plus, I think. I did an episode of that. I basically just submit for like everything that I'm appropriate for age-wise and gender-wise or whatever. And then if I get picked, I get picked. And if I don't get picked, then, you know, no harm, no foul.
Do you know, like, do you have like a day rate when you get something like that?
So yeah. So I used to do this before I was in the actors union. It was basically like minimum wage.
Okay.
It probably worked out to like 12. Well, I don't know what minimum wage is now, but I think it was probably like 12, 13, 14 bucks an hour.
Okay.
For background work. And then once I joined the actors union, that bumped up, not significantly, but I mean, it's probably, I think it's $188 for 8 hours. And then anything over 8 hours, you get overtime. And also you get much better food when you're in the actors union.
It's good to know.
I worked on the Whitney Houston movie that came out last year. And one of the days that I went on set, I was in hair and makeup and costume for like 8 hours waiting around. And then they decided they didn't actually need us and they let us go. So I got paid to like read my book and to eat some salmon for dinner and to like hang out and chit chat with the other background. So, I mean, I can't complain. I mean, it's very fun to be on set. And like, I love that. I mean, I would eventually like to have a part, a line or two, which I'm working towards, but it's just so sporadic. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It was probably like $1,000 after taxes that I brought home for the year. And that's, they pay you for the COVID test. They pay you for your wardrobe fitting.
Yeah.
Sometimes like for One of them for Kevin, I used my car in the background. I got like a $25 bump for having my car on set in the background. But there's always like little perks there. And then decluttering, I've been charging $50 an hour for in-person and $30 an hour for virtual. And pretty much every single person I have spoken to, not clients, but just other people that are doing this or think I'm not charging enough.
Yeah, $50 an hour in person, like that's a lot of work and it's in someone's house. It's, yeah, it seems reasonable.
So I'm at the point where I'm trying to decide, do I raise my rates? Do I not raise my rates? I'm getting a lot of work at this rate and I like being affordable enough that like more people have access to it. But I got to decide, you know, what my time is worth to me. And I don't know. I'm struggling with that right now.
Yeah, I think that would be such a hard part of being a small business owner is setting your rates and knowing your worth and valuing yourself appropriately, but also accepting that you might need to deal with people's opinions about it one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I like being able to help, you know, stay-at-home moms that feel overwhelmed with all the toys. They might not have like a huge budget. I like being able to help them. But, you know, sometimes it's a long time in the car. Like if it's over 45 minutes for me, I do require at least a 2-hour minimum. It's within 45 minutes. So far, I've been going and just doing an hour at a time if somebody wants.
Yeah.
Most sessions are usually between three and 4 hours is like the average, I think. So I have to charge like a travel fee. So basically there was a woman who wanted to hire me and she lives about an hour and a half from me. So the first time I went, I didn't tell her anything about a travel fee at that point because I didn't really think about it. And that was the furthest I'd gone. So I didn't know. And she asked me, you know, do you charge for travel? And I was kind of caught off guard. And I was like, yes, $30. And I just like came up with a figure. I don't know. So I drove out there. We did, you know, 4 hours. I was gone the entire day because I left my house at 8 a.m. to get there for 9:30. We did 4 hours. And then by the time I got home, it was like 5:15. I do take people's donations with me too.
Oh, that's nice. That's one of the hardest parts about decluttering is like finding the right spot to give it where it'll be used and not thrown out.
Yeah. So I just tell people I'm happy to fill my car. Whatever fits in my car, I have like a small SUV I'll take with me today. But I would like to be able to work, you know, all over. And, you know, people, some of my virtual clients live in Mississippi and Maine and they live all over. So I am getting business because of Dana. So she has a podcast and she every week basically promotes her coaches. So since getting certified and since, you know, being up on her, I think it's decluttering coaches.com, people from all over the country have found me because a lot of people know her. And so most of these like virtual clients I've been doing have been because they found me on her site. So it's been great. I've gotten like a ton more business ever since I was listed on that site.
That is such an important thing to think about with things like the getting certified. It gives you a little bit of legitimacy and that advertising, that customer base that you might not get otherwise.
I literally didn't even consider the advertising part of it. All of a sudden, like I was getting emails from random people and I'm like, how did you find me? And they're like, decluttering coaches.com. And I'm like, oh my God, this is great. Like free advertising. It was more the legitimacy is the reason why I'm like, I feel like I need something to say.
Yeah.
So that I feel like real, like I'm just showing up at your house and I'm doing this. And, you know, I've read a lot about decluttering and I've listened to a lot of podcasts, but I wanted to have something that like showed that I am more of like an expert in this area. So I am at some point probably going to get certified in like the organizing aspect of it. I looked into Marie Kondo. Cass Arson she has a show on HGTV called Hot Mess House. She has a whole certification program. I might do hers. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but Dana's is mostly working on the decluttering and the getting stuff out. And although I do help with the organizing piece of it, I would like to be certified kind of in both.
Yeah.
I'll be adding that in at some point.
Can you walk me through like an average decluttering visit?
I tell the client before I come, they always ask me, what do I need? What do I need to buy before you come? And I always tell them nothing. Do not buy anything. People want to buy pretty bins, pretty containers. The whole idea is to get stuff out and we organize later. So there's no reason to buy a bunch of pretty bins from the container store before I come. Like I tell them, don't spend any money. I said, all you need are black trash bags and donatable donation boxes, which basically means a brown box, a cardboard box, like maybe from an Amazon delivery that you can fill with donations that you don't care about, that you can then just put in my car and not think about it again. If you have like a pretty bin and it's labeled donations and really pretty letters, then when you go to switch all of the stuff from that bin to whatever you're going to use to actually donate it, you're going to second guess some of your decisions. Oh, well, actually, I might actually want to keep that, or I could use that someday or whatever. So you want it in a donatable donation box, like from the get-go. So that's all they need is black trash bags and cardboard boxes. So I show up and I basically walk them through. I kind of give them the lowdown of what her 5-step process is, which I don't need to go through that on here because that's like a whole thing that I teach. But I mean, I teach them the 5-step process and then we basically just get to work. So I work alongside them so that the client makes all of the final decisions on what stays and what goes. I tell people you can keep anything, you just can't keep everything. Well, who am I to say, like, you need to get rid of X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
I leave it up to them. And then there's something called the container concept, which I teach. And that basically shows them how to put a limit on certain things in their home. So for instance, like I had a bookshelf and I read a lot. And I used to read like paper, like hardcover books or whatever, as opposed to my Kindle. And every time I would get a new book, it would go in my bookshelf. And then the bookshelf would be full one day. And instead of then taking some books off, I would get another bookshelf.
Right.
So you have to think of the bookshelf as the container and as the limit of how many books to keep. So that's what I tell people when we're going through. If they want to keep, you know, 40 pieces of Tupperware that they never use, but they mean a lot to them because they belong to their great grandmother. Okay, that's fine. You can have a memory bin and you can have your Tupperware in there. But when that bin is full, that's the limit of how much you can keep. So it's kind of just explaining the container concept to them and it's explaining the 5 steps and we go through the whole thing. And the first 3 steps are pretty easy. It's literally looking for trash, looking for the easy things that are just not in their proper home in the house, and then getting out the donations that for whatever reason you just haven't donated yet, but it's just sitting around. It's fun. I mean, I really enjoy, like I'm a dork about decluttering. I just like have fun with it and it doesn't feel like work to me and I like helping people.
I love it. So the next question is, what are some things you love about your job that you think people might not know? And because you have 3 pretty distinct lines of work going on, I would love, you know, if you have one for each, that would be great. If you have a thought about just how they all work together, that's fine too. So interpret that how you like.
Well, I'll start with the acting because I love acting. That's just like, I've done, you know, theater all through like middle school and high school, and I just enjoy it. I have fun with it. But being on a set and working with famous people is really fun for me. I just love watching them work. I just love being on set and like getting to watch everybody doing their thing because it's fascinating to see how movies and TV shows are made too.
Yeah.
So I just love that. The decluttering does not even feel like work to me because it's just so much fun. It's cathartic. I love helping people. Sometimes I feel like I'm not even needed other than the fact that I'm there to give them permission to let go of things. And a lot of people hire me, especially the virtual clients, they just need the accountability. They're like, I'm not going to do it unless someone's there with me, walking me through it. So it's just like an accountability thing.
Yeah, totally.
I just love helping people and seeing, you know, I love taking the before and after pictures to show them like, we only worked on this space for like 25 minutes and already look at the difference. Even just removing the trash and like easy stuff from a situation makes a difference and you can see it in pictures. And then the accounting firm, I like office work. I like busy work. I do not like answering the phones, which I got hired originally as their receptionist. So I did that for the first year. I answered the phones solely. And I do not like that. I don't know if it's just my generation. I don't like talking on the phone to anybody. Once in a while, I'll talk to my dad on the phone, my mom maybe, but I'm just all about texting and email and whatever. So I don't enjoy the phone aspect because I am back up on the phones too. If the receptionist is busy, you know, I'll grab the phone if she's not available. But everything else I love. I get a lot of joy from getting signed e-file forms in the mail for me that gives me the permission to go on and file the returns. I don't know why. I mean, I get super excited about that.
Hey, you like what you like.
I just love being in an office with grownups because when I taught preschool before this job, it was just so draining in every way possible. The preschool that I worked at was in a high school and the daycare and preschool were for staff's children. So they had an on-site free daycare.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
When I started there, it was free. I think now they do charge something. But so I had high school students that took daycare as a class in order to like develop, it was students with learning disabilities. So they would develop life skills. So we would have them pour the milks for snack time and get the snacks ready and help the kids, you know, put their coats on and stuff like that. So I had 7 periods out of the day, high school students coming in and switching classes. And then all day long, 24-year-olds that were like preschool age. And I used to come home and cry. It was just so hard. It was so exhausting. So I love being at the accounting firm because it's grownups. I can have adult conversations. It's a break really for me from being mom. I get to like go pee alone, go make a cup of coffee and drink it hot if I want. I enjoy the people that I work with. Everybody is so nice. I mean, they're like really like family. I mean, I have been with them for, it'll be 13 years in August. So they saw me meet my husband, you know, get married, have babies. I had 2 prophylactic surgeries over the last year and a half because I'm high risk for breast and ovarian cancer. They were great about giving me time off for that.
Yeah.
They really treat me like family. So I just love working there. This great people.
I feel like that's something I didn't think about at all as a kid, that like your coworkers can be a really important part of the, you know, fabric of your life, that, you know, the people you know and care for you.
You spend so much time with that, even though now it's less time than, you know, I used to be full-time. And then definitely like when I started and I was full-time plus overtime and tax season, like when I met my husband, I was like, okay, so for tax season, I'm going to be at work until like 9:30. Like when we first moved in together, when we were dating, and he's like, well, I go to bed at 8:30. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll just see you when I see you. Like we didn't see each other because like he would get up and go to work before I did. And then I would be working till 9:30 and then come home and crash and get up and do it the next day. So right now, my life work balance of 3 days in the office, 2 days at home is a wonderful mix. I am sort of making myself busier because I'm trying to do so much extra on top of that. Trying to build the side hustle and doing acting jobs when I can. So I'm busy.
Yeah, it sounds like it, certainly. Well, you mentioned the phones as something you didn't like, but thinking about the 3 paths, is there anything that's tough about it, especially if it's something that you didn't anticipate about any of those lines, or just balancing it all? I mean, that I think would be a tough piece.
The balancing is definitely the hardest part. I mean, I'm not sure I would recommend doing like 3 different jobs at once. I actually also just stopped doing 2 other side hustles that I did.
Whoa.
Because I couldn't keep it up. Like I was exhausted. So I used to do a lot of pet sitting.
Oh.
What I would do is I would go and feed other people's cats after work, like that were on vacation. So on my way home from work, I'd stop, I'd scoop the litter, give them food, give them water, play with them for a few minutes. And it was a quick, easy $25. And I thought about it. Okay, I have my own pets at home to take care of. Taking time away from my children because I'm stopping on my drive home from work. By the time I get home, they're having dinner and going right to bed. So I wasn't like seeing them like enough. So I'm like, something's got to give. And I really wanted to grow the decluttering business. So I'm like, I can't do pet sitting anymore. So I had to turn people down and they're like, it's hard because they're like, oh, can you just do it one more time? And I'm like, I just have to be strong. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. And then I was also selling clothes for people on Poshmark. Oh, wow. So people would drop stuff off at my house and I was acting kind of as their like consignment shop. I would take all the pictures and I would post everything and I would answer all the questions from, and then we would split the profit. So it was great extra money because I didn't buy any of the clothes or the products and I was still getting money, but it's a lot of work to do that, to take all the photos and to field all the questions and whatever. And again, something had to give. I wanted to really concentrate on the decluttering and the acting. Like, those are my two passions. And I still want to stay at the accounting firm 3 days a week. So I had to cut back somewhere.
Wow, you are on the grind. That's amazing. I think that's something like for lots of people or people out there are thinking about things. It's like, you don't just have to do one thing. You can keep trying all kinds of new things till you find one. And listeners can't see the most amazing elderly dog that you have on your lap right now, who is just absolutely killing me with their cuteness.
You just turned 13 on Tuesday.
Yes, she did.
60. Yeah.
That's amazing. I do have one quick question before our last question. I think we all know lots of people who kind of do that, like their parents really want them to get a degree and they either do or they don't. And you went down the path of getting it. Are you happy you did that? Do you think it was a good investment in hindsight?
Part of me is very happy that I have a bachelor's degree, but part of me is a little regretful that I didn't pursue the acting right out of high school, because now I feel, not that I'm too old to act, but it's like, if I had put in all the time all through my 20s, maybe by now I would have a steady acting career. Maybe not, but maybe I would. And I'll just never know. So it's nice that I live near Boston because they do film a lot around here. Mm-hmm. So I can work as much as they'll hire me. But then movie stuff is like very last minute. So they might call me and say, can you come tomorrow? And I'm like, well, if I have to work at my accounting job, I have to then like either call in sick or like switch days or whatever. And that's like very last minute. If I don't have childcare, I got to scramble to find somebody. It's just, acting is not conducive to having a family at all, unless you're already famous and can afford, you know, multiple nannies and multiple people on call at any time. But that's not the situation. So it's hard because I've thought over the years, I'm like, should I just like really get a waitressing job and just try to pursue acting like full time? But you know what? I didn't want to be poor, like trying to make it as an actor.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to like have money to do things, and I wanted to have pets. And then now I have children and we want to be able to take vacations. And so I need some steady income. But part of me is wondering, like, what would have happened if I just pursued that dream right out of high school? But I obviously will never know, because it's just not the path I took.
Yeah. And finding that balance that works for you. And it seems like you found a really good one of like stability, known job that is good with the passion projects on the side. You know, I think that's not a bad way to go, and one that I imagine a lot of people can identify with.
Yeah. And one way that I'm trying to kind of combine the acting with the decluttering is I want to start doing more like reels of like declutter things, or where I'm on camera. And I've even toyed with the idea of doing like a YouTube channel, because my Instagram, I do have like some, you know, videos, but it's mostly just me talking and giving tips or whatever. So I'm trying to think if I can kind of combine them and somehow produce like little mini reels of decluttering jobs, so that I'm still on camera and I'm doing that kind of performance type stuff, but also doing the decluttering and helping people in the meantime.
Yes. Social media is such an important part of small business life these days, it seems like.
It is. I don't like a lot of it. Like, I like being on social media. I like looking at other people's, but to create content is actually so much work. And that's the part I'm kind of struggling with, because I looked into finding someone to kind of handle my social media. And like the cheapest I found so far was like $400 a month, which I cannot pay at this point. So far I'm just trying to do it on my own. And I'm trying to like think of better ways to commit, like maybe say like every Tuesday, I'm going to start posting a video. And then every Friday, I may post, you know, some tips or whatever. I got to figure it out. But I'm trying to kind of combine everything, so that I do have like a pretty decent following on Facebook and Instagram. I mean, I think I have like 750 followers on my Facebook page. So I'm hoping to get, I said, as soon as I get to 1,000 followers, I'll give away a free session.
Nice. Yeah. So where can people find you on Facebook and Instagram, and how would they contact you if they were interested in getting help decluttering?
So I have a website. It's iamthecutterbuster.com. And that's the same handle for Instagram, just at iamthecutterbuster. And then facebook.com/iamthecutterbuster. And I have a Facebook page. I have an Instagram page. I'm toying with the idea of the YouTube. That'll be the same handle if I end up doing it. People can email me, iamthecutterbuster@gmail.com. I'm very easily available and accessible, and people can even, I'm not going to say my number on here, but if you find my number from the website, people have even texted me, and I've gotten back to them via text because some people just prefer that.
I love it. I'll put those in the show notes too for people to find them. So, all right, this is my last question. So what is one piece of advice generally about work that you would give your younger self?
Oh, I would probably tell myself to really follow my dreams when I was younger without the responsibility of having children. I wish I had spent more of my 20s really pursuing the acting before I had the responsibilities that kind of tie me down. But also the other piece of advice is to just try out everything that you're interested in. Try it out in some capacity because you never know. I mean, I thought about making the pet sitting thing. That could have been a full-time job.
Totally.
Do it. And I did it for a long time and it brought in some extra income and it wasn't anything that I was going to really do full-time in the end, but I could have easily made that full-time. And animals, you know, I'm pretty passionate about animals. I love animals. I always have pets of my own. So just kind of explore everything and don't put yourself into any kind of a box. Just try everything you like. And eventually, I feel like I'm almost 41 and I've been doing the decluttering for the last 2 years. And now I finally feel like I'm really doing something that I'm good at and that is fun for me. Because what do they say? If you're having fun at work, it's not work or whatever they say.
Yeah, you'll never work a day in your life if you love your job.
When I do declutter jobs, I don't feel like I'm working. I really don't. I'm having fun. So you just want to keep trying everything until you find that.
That is fantastic advice, Allison. Thank you so much for talking with me today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm on working, working, work. I ain't never gonna stop. I'm on working, working, work.
Thanks for joining me. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review on iTunes. That's the best way to help others find the show. If you'd like to be interviewed here or you'd like to hear about a particular type of job, please reach out at realworkreallife@gmail.com.